This morning's Old Testament lesson comes to us from Psalm 23, and I invite you at home to recite it with me. And here you can recite it too, because you have your mask on. Just recite it very softly. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you now to join in the fourfold Alleluia. We will hum here, and you will sing at home as loud as you can. This morning's New Testament lesson comes to us from Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once before performing the baptism of a little baby, a priest approached the young child's father. It was a few days before the event, and the priest said to the father, "Are you prepared for this baptism? It is a serious event." The father said, "Oh yes, we're prepared. My wife has made the appetizers. We've got a caterer coming, and everything's all set." The priest was frustrated and said, "That's not what I mean. Are you prepared spiritually?" And the man said, "Oh yes, we've ordered a keg of beer and a case of wine." He missed the point, as too many people do with baptism. We're going to think a little bit today about baptism as it comes to us in the experience of Jesus. We start with a sermon series called Living Waters. For 4 weeks, we're going to take a look at how water plays a significant part in the scriptures and how we can learn lessons from those events. Living water is the theme, and our beautiful altar today helps us to think about it, and our thanks to the worship team. Water, the essence of life, is before us. We take a moment to say thanks to Ginny and Fred Borman for the flowers on this beautiful altar, representing their celebration of their 59th wedding anniversary. The story of living waters is best expressed as when Jesus was in Samaria. That was foreign territory. He was not welcome there. But as Jesus walked through Samaria one day with his disciples, he stopped at a well. They needed some water. It was hot. Scripture tells us that the disciples went into town to get something to eat. And Jesus then was at the well when a woman came for water, a Samaritan woman. She lived nearby. Jesus begins a conversation with her, and quickly he can tell that she is a troubled soul and that this woman has had a difficult, troubled life. He then refers to living water that he has to offer her, obviously referencing the life that God gives. And she says, "Sir, show me where to get that living water that I may drink of it." She recognized her need for the living water of God. And so that backdrop is how we begin thinking about water and the living water that God gives. And today, we think of it through the central event at the start of Jesus' ministry, his baptism. We think about new beginnings. Jesus' baptism was a new beginning. God's designed life to have lots of new beginnings. It's a new day. This is a new beginning, this very day. There's a new month. Seasons start. We just recently began summer. It's a new season, a new beginning. God has designed life for new beginnings. In the church, there are seasons and new beginnings. And today is a very special new beginning for Trinity, because we will be welcoming Reverend Jisun Nam to our staff, to our clergy team. It's a new beginning for us and for her and her family. Also, July 1st in the United Methodist system is the official date when clergy are reappointed to their churches. So all the other clergy on our team officially had a new beginning just a few days ago on July 1st. And God has woven new beginnings into the very fabric of nature. The images we saw a moment ago of caterpillar to chrysalis to butterfly is a perfect example of the new beginning representing God's desire for us. We likewise know that a water bug becomes a nymph and then a dragonfly. We likewise know that the seasons in which we find ourselves keep changing, and yet new beginnings follow after endings. And even your life, made up of stages from childhood to adolescence to young adulthood, each one has an ending and then a new beginning. God's designed it that way. So today, we take a look at this theme of new beginnings through the lens of Jesus' baptism. In those days, in the background of this baptism, it's important to remember that the Jewish community had many ritual bathings. In the Jewish community, as represented in the Old Testament, whenever something happens significantly, there may be a call for someone to have a ritual bathing. For example, if someone committed a certain sin, they had to cleanse themselves of that sin before they could go and worship in the synagogue. If someone touched a dead body, they needed to go and worship and bathe before they could go back to worship. Women, after their menstrual cycle, needed to bathe. People, and all of this bathing took place in what were called mikvahs. A couple of years ago, on Trinity's pilgrimage to the Holy Land, we stood in Magdala on the Sea of Galilee, and this particular image is the mikvah where we stood. That is a small pool, and as I've been mentioning, people step down the steps and bathe themselves in these mikvahs. Very often, they are found near synagogues or near the temple in Jerusalem, because that's the next step. You bathe, and then you return to the holiness of worship in that place. Priests had to be ritually bathed before they could lead worship in one of these mikvahs. Then Jesus and John enter the scene in the beginning of the Gospels. John, the cousin of Jesus, is out baptizing people. Well, now another part of the Old Testament tradition is that a person who wanted to convert to Judaism had to bathe, to be immersed, and it was called baptizo, which means to immerse or to dip. Now John, as we know him, John the Baptist, has taken this concept and says, repent, be baptized, start anew, take a new beginning. He does so in the River Jordan. And here you see on the map that the River Jordan running from the Sea of Galilee in the north, the little blue dot, down to the Dead Sea, the large sea down below. Connecting them is the River Jordan. Again, 2 years ago, our pilgrimage team stood there, and here is the River Jordan. It is not particularly wide. But that is the place where this event happened. Somewhere near here, scholars suggest, is where Jesus was baptized. John's baptizing folks in this river. He's kind of surprised. Who walks up next in the line? It's Jesus, his cousin. And John says, wait, I know what God has in store for you and what God's going to do with you. I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, you're going to baptize me. And that's what happens. Jesus is baptized. People wonder why Jesus was baptized. He was sinless. He had no reason to repent. But most scholars believe that Jesus wanted to be baptized to indicate the new beginning of his ministry. He's about age 30. We know up to this time he's living at home with his family in Nazareth, but now he steps out. God says, you will begin your ministry now. And Jesus chooses this act of baptism to signal this new beginning. Remember, the end of his ministry is likewise in a reference to baptism. As Jesus is on the mountain, he's about to return to God. One of the last things he says to the church, go, make disciples of all nations, and do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the bookends of Jesus' ministry, his beginning of ministry at the start and the beginning of the church's ministry at the end, with both having a reference to baptism. Since then, of course, the church has determined that the act of baptism is a sacrament. It is a holy event because Jesus took part in it. So one of the two sacraments in the Methodist Church is baptism and Holy Communion. And we regularly baptize children, adults, and youth here. Today, we think about baptism just as it was for Jesus, a new beginning for his ministry. Now we think about new beginnings for us. Now, you've all probably been baptized, and it's a one-time event. But in the United Methodist Church, there is a ritual of the reaffirmation of your baptismal covenant. So perhaps today we think about the reaffirmation of our covenant, our relationship with Christ, which baptism represents. God wants us to embark on new beginnings. As I've said, nature is woven into nature, new beginnings, the seasons, our bodies. So what about our internal journey for new beginnings? I think first, God wants us to take new beginnings because a new beginning is a way for us to step away from the past. It marks a break with the past. You perhaps have some things you could think about that you'd like to get rid of. Things in your mind, in your soul, in your relationships that you'd like to just step away from. We know that physically, our bodies are recreated every 7 years. That's right. Every 7 years, you have a completely new cellular body. Cells drop off, new cells are made. In a similar way, I believe God wants us to let certain things go that are not healthy or needed anymore so that we then can have a new beginning. And some of those things are emotional things, some of our spiritual, some are relational things. And you know where there are some aspects of life that you would just do better off to let go of them. What do you need to let go of would be the question. Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Is it ego? Do you need to let go of control or judgment or cynicism or sarcasm? What is it that's not helpful to you in your life? That's what you want to let go of to have a new beginning. We are used to occasionally seeing on TV, or maybe you once saw at a circus, a trapeze artist. These daring men and women fly back and forth holding on to the trapeze. Do you remember? When they do, they go from one bar to the next. And you know what the first rule is for a new flyer? That's what those folks are called. When they're training a new flyer, the first rule that they are told, let go of the bar. Makes sense, doesn't it? But it's fearful because in that moment of letting go, they have nothing to hold on to until they grab the next bar. So it is on our journey, letting go so that we can grab hold of the next thing. George O'Keefe was a great artist in America in the early part of the 20th century. By the time she was 30 years old, she had painted great, great paintings that were identified as some of the most talented and meaningful art in America at the time. She lived in Texas when she painted lots of these paintings, and then she decided to move to New York. She kind of wanted a new beginning, but not just in geography, also in art. So when she moved to New York, do you know what she did? She took all of the paintings that she brought with her from Texas, from her earlier period, as art historians would say, and she threw them away one night. She took all of these very valuable paintings and went downstairs to the dumpster near her apartment in New York City and left them there. She and a friend actually went out to dinner that evening, and when they came back hours later, the weather had blown a lot of these powerfully valuable paintings all over the place. She walked right by them. She just let them go. And art historians suggest that because she was able to let go of that former period, that former style, her next art was so much more effective and so much more beautiful. That's what happens when we let go of something in our lives. We make room for something better. So first, the new beginnings that we want and God wants for us involve letting go of something in the past. But then the second part is that a new beginning means embracing something new, grabbing that trapeze bar on the other side. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is a strange one, actually. It's at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul has been talking about spiritual gifts and lots of different spiritual gifts and knowledge and prophecy and tongues. And the last sentence of 1 Corinthians 12 says this: "Now, I will show you a still more excellent way." I will show you a still more excellent way. And you know what he then talks about? 1 Corinthians 13. What is that? The great chapter on love. That's right. A better way. God wants you to embrace a better way. Why? Because God has plans for us to give us a future and a hope. A better way, a better future. You let go of the past to make room for it, but then you have to grab onto something new. And that involves change. And most people don't like change. Years ago, I was trying to help a person who kept saying they wanted a better life and wanted to make some changes. They never made them. We would talk every 3 or 4 weeks. Same thing. They wouldn't change. Finally, I called a professional counselor. I said, "I'm very frustrated. Tell me, from your perspective, when do people change? What makes people change?" And that person said, "People change most often when it hurts too much not to change." The theory of pain avoidance. Well, since then, I've also come to find that there's a second reason that people change. That people will change when they want to embrace some new passion, some new exciting direction. But change is hard. And some of you would say, "I've been trying to change for a long time, and it's hard." And it is. But grabbing onto that new trapeze bar can come after you let go of the past and then start reaching for the new. A wonderful story illustrates this out of Wisconsin. Back at the beginning of the last century, a young man was very smitten with a young girl. They were about 22 years old, and finally he got nerve to invite her out for a picnic one summer afternoon. He arranged a very special picnic. They were going to get in a boat, and he was going to take the picnic stuff, the basket and the food, and they were going to row the boat across this lovely lake in Wisconsin, and then they were going to have a picnic on the island. Well, they got there, they started their picnic, and after a little while, the young lady said, it would have been kind of nice to have some salt and pepper. Now the guy, you know, he's a guy, first of all, so he didn't really remember everything. But she mentioned a couple of things. Salt, pepper, it would have been nice. He jumps up, said, hold on. He runs to the boat, hops in the boat, rows back across the lake to the shore, gets what she suggested would make the day better, brings it back. They have a nice hour or time of a picnic when she happens to mention something else. And he jumps up and says, hold on, runs to the boat, rows across the lake, gets what she suggests, comes back. Now, by now, he's perspiring like crazy. Near the end of the picnic, she says, you know what would have made this a perfect ending is if we had had some ice cream. Well, he's trying to make her happy. He jumps up, runs to the boat, you know the drill, comes back with ice cream. That night, he went home. His name was Ole. And Ole was somewhat of an engineering student. And Ole thought, there's got to be a better way. And that night, Ole, the Evinrude Motor Company, still exists because there was a better way. That's how it is. When we realize that there's a better way for our lives, for our souls, we can make that change. And only you know where that needs to be made in your life. Perhaps in a marriage, perhaps in a relationship with family, perhaps with children or grandchildren or parents. Where does that change need to be made? Where could there be a better way? Where could there be a better way in your journey of faith as a Christian? Where could there be a better way in your relationship to Christ? Where could there be a better way in your relationship to the church? God desires new beginnings. New beginnings require change, and change leads to a better way. And that's by God's design. A young family had a beautiful home with a nice pool in the backyard. They had a baby, and the baby grew up. And about age 3, they decided, let's take little Brady and put him in the pool and put some water wings on his arms and let him splash around, which they did. All summer, Brady had fun splashing around at age 3 in this pool. Summer ended. Next summer comes around. Brady's 4. Once again, they put the water wings, you know, those little floats on his arms so he doesn't sink. He goes out, has lots of fun. All summer long, he won't take them off. That's all he wants to use. He becomes 5. The next summer comes around. Mom and Dad think, we've got to help him move beyond this. Brady starts crying, no, I won't go in without him. And now, Dad says, Brady, you have to get in the pool, and you have to take off these water wings, and you have to learn to swim on your own. But here, Brady, here's my promise. I will swim next to you all the way across the pool. And that's what happened. As he gave up the water wings, and like a typical little 5-year-old, kicking and splashing and making all kinds of noise, but waking his way across the shallow end of the pool. And who was with him the whole time? His dad. That's the way it is for our new beginnings. We let go. We take on change. We say, God, help us, help me, and we get across. May that new beginning come someplace in your soul this day. Let's pray. Lord God, we know how you have created us. You do not wish for us to be stagnant or stale, but you want us to grow throughout all of our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for how you have made us, but we also know that we need your help. So I pray that you will bless those worshiping with us today as they consider where the changes need to be made. Help them to let go of things that are no longer helpful or needed. Help them to be faithful and strong and courageous, taking on new beginnings as they remember that all the way you are with them. These things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.